want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, we're joined today by Dennis Coker, and a lot of my regular listeners have been following the story, and I've been hearing from a number of you saying, when are you going to get Dennis on? Well, your wish is my command, because guess who's on the phone with us today? We have all the way from California, Dennis Coker. Dennis, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining us today.
Thank you for having me and giving me an opportunity to explain to you and your fans and your listening audience exactly what my situation is.
So what is your situation? But before we get into that, Dennis, I know you don't think you have enough to say to fill the hour, but trust me, you do. You're going to run out of time before you run out of things to talk about. Before we get started into your particular situation, let me tell you that when I first talked to Link Cummings, who is one of the founders of the Community Associations Institute, and I asked him why they started this, he said to build community, because in this area, in the Washington, D.C. area, we're very transient. People come, they go, and there's never an opportunity to build community. So he wanted to build community, and sort of an artificial community. You have the genuine, real thing. You have a spirit of community, the whole essence of what we mean by community, by being a neighbor, by caring for your neighbors and finding a need and filling it. And that's what you've been doing, Dennis. And for your problems, you're getting nothing but hassles and harassment, right?
Correct.
So tell us, what's been going on, Dennis?
I've been living here at Lake of the Pines for approximately 14 years. Lake of the Pines is located in Auburn, California, about 35 miles east of Sacramento. We have about 2,000 homes here, built in the late 70s and early 80s. I've been living here for 14 years, and I have been building furniture as a hobby ever since I moved here 14 years ago. Never a complaint, never a problem, until 2012. In 2012, the general manager sent an email to me and said that my furniture was, quote, unsightly, unquote. I contested that and went to see my immediate neighbors, and 12 of my immediate neighbors wrote and supported me, saying, no, his furniture is not unsightly. We own his furniture. There are no odors and fumes and noise. It is a hobby that he donates a lot of his furniture to the men and women at Beale Air Force Base and other donations that he makes privately. So because of the letters of support in 2012, the accusation kind of quieted down for a little while, until a month or so later, when all of a sudden the GM came back and said, well, if you're building more than 50-some pieces of furniture, that certainly cannot be classified as a hobby. That has to be a business. And therefore, if you're working out of your home, you need to have a business license that Lake of the Pines will issue for $25. So I thought, well, let the hassle go away. I'll pay the $25. And one of the contingencies was that they said I could not put more than two pieces of furniture on my driveway at any one time.
Oh, so that included permission to put furniture on your driveway.
That's correct, but no more than two pieces at any one time.
Okay.
So as my neighbors began to hear about how I refurbish and donate furniture to Beale Air Force Base, more and more of my neighbors would come by and donate a crib, a dollhouse, a dresser, drawers. And so I would take them in and repair them, and there were some times when maybe I had more than two pieces out in the driveway because I simply didn't have any room. But at nighttime, everything was always moved inside, so there was nothing outside that made it look like a junkyard. And I would contact the men and women at Beale Air Force Base, and they would actually send down a military truck, pick up the furniture, take it back to Beale, and I always gave it anonymously. I didn't want to know who was getting it. I allowed the sergeants at Beale Air Force Base to find designated families in need, so it was a donation. A couple of months ago, I received a call from Beale that one of our airmen lost their house and all the belongings in a fire. They asked if I had any furniture that I could donate, and I said yes. So it happened to be on a Saturday, and I went out to a moving sale here at Lake of the Pines, and a lady was moving to another state. I told her why I was there. She felt so compelled to donate furniture that I bought all of her furniture for $250, and all of it was donated out to the airmen at Beale Air Force Base.
So all of this, a house full of furniture, you paid $254 and donated it to this family?
Yes.
Okay.
So after this period when I was working and putting some things on the driveway in excess of two pieces, they came down and the ECC committee, the environmental committee, came down and said, we are going to revoke your license because you are putting more than two pieces out at any one time.
Oh, okay.
So I went before the board, and I tried to explain to them what I was doing, and they simply said, well, this is the rule, and so we've made this determination. So I said, well, okay. So I felt that was the end of that. So I moved. I did all of my building in my garage, nothing on the driveway. On July 11th, I got a letter from the general manager, and he basically said, we're going to close you down in 3 days because you are still operating a business, you don't have a permit, and since I never felt I had a business, because if I made over 100 pieces, I may have sold 10 in 14 years, and that's certainly not as profitable. And the dictionary defines a hobby as an activity that is non-profitable. And I certainly fall into that bracket. So on July 11th, he sends me this letter, and he tells me he's going to close my shop because I'm emitting odors and fumes. So what I decided to do is I read this in very completely, and it says in one of the paragraphs, it says that if there was a complainant from an occupant or owner, that person must live within a reasonable distance from the alleged nuisance where it emanates. So I said to the general manager, my wife and I went and sat down with the general manager, and we said, well, who is the complainant? And he said, I am. Well, I did a little research and found out that this general manager doesn't even live here at Lake of the Pines. So when I inquired further, he didn't want to discuss anymore. He was basically going to shut me off. So in his letter that he sent, in the final paragraph, it says, any violation will be fines of anywhere from $100 to $1,000. And then he goes on to say, inspections are occurring daily. So if you can believe this, he's taking assets and having an admin person drive past my residence every day to make sure I'm not outside of my garage building. So he goes on in his letter that says, the activity of manufacturing, sawing, hammering, painting, sanding, etc. may not be conducted on this lot. Now, there is nothing in the rules and regulations that state that I cannot sand or paint or saw on my lot. So where he comes up with this, I don't know. But it's kind of like he creates the rules as he goes along, and he doesn't like to be challenged.
They never do. They never like to be challenged. So the threat, see, they may not have actually fined you, and what you need to do is you need to find out whether they've added a fine to your account, your statement, because quite often what they'll do is they'll add a fine and they won't tell you that they've added a fine. So you send in your assessment. They'll take the assessment and they'll apply it to the fine, which means you're behind in your assessment.
The attorney went on to write a letter yesterday to me. She said that Mr. Coker has complained to the media that the association was to fine him up to $1,000. But he has only been issued a warning and not a citation.
Check, ask for a copy of your, have your wife ask for a copy of your statement from the association to see what's on there. Because that's a typical game, Dennis. I mean, they'll do that. Associations typically will do that. They'll just go ahead and stick a fine on there. And then before you know it, you own thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because they just keep applying your assessment to your fine, and then you're short the assessment. And so then they can add, late fees and interest, and they keep building it that way before they let you know, hey, by the way, you owe us $20,000. And you go, wait, you know, I've been paying my assessments and I've been paying them on time, so there's no reason for that. But they don't tell you that they've added a fine to your account.
Well, I'll check on that and take your advice. One of the things I wanted to mention to you also is when I had an opportunity to sit down with a general manager and I asked him if he could use any discretion whatsoever regarding this, his response was absolutely not. So I had no other alternative then but to, I wrote a letter to the Auburn Journal, a newspaper in Auburn, California, and the following day the reporter called and said, I want to come out and do a story. So he came out, spent about an hour, and he went over to the general manager and asked for his side of the story, and the response was no comment.
Yeah.
So the following day, the article appeared in the Auburn Journal.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, Channel 13 News in Sacramento picked up the story, and they came out with a news crew. They spent about an hour. They were actually in my shop. They took photographs of my work. They even complimented me on how beautiful the furniture was. And then they went over to talk to the general manager, and once again, no comment. So then I found out from a person who called me from Wisconsin a day or so later that the Drudge Report, that is a syndicated news media on the Internet with 33 million readers, had picked up the story. So they put it nationally. I then contacted the Grass Valley Union News, another reporter in Grass Valley, California, and that reporter came out with a photographer and also did a story, and her comment was, there is nothing wrong with your furniture, it's beautiful, and she wrote a story. So the following day, I decided, I'm a big follower of Megyn Kelly on Fox News in New York, so I wrote her an email and I told her my dilemma. I asked for support. The following day, I received a phone call from the producer in New York. He said, Dennis, I'm the producer of the show in New York on Fox News. We want to do a live interview with you. We're going to send a limo to pick you up. We're going to drive you to our Fox News station in San Francisco, and we want you to go live on national television, which I did do. After that broadcast, I received unbelievable support across the United States from people who saw the broadcast and said, what they're doing to you is absolutely not right.
Yeah.
They said, here's a person who's building furniture, donating it to the men and women in the military. He's not selling it to make a profit. And now these people want to shut him down because there apparently is some kind of an anonymous complainant that doesn't want to step forward.
See, don't you have a constitutional right to face your complainant?
Well, in the...
Your accuser?
In the rules and regulations of the Covenants Committee, it specifically states that, yes, that all complainants must agree to appear and to be cross-examined by myself. Well, if this suddenly now is being referred to the board of directors who have determined it's going to be a closed executive session, that means I have no right. I can't know who the complainant is, and I can't even cross-examine.
Okay. We're talking to Dennis Coker. Dennis is the gentleman in California who has been building furniture and donating it to the military because, Lord knows, we don't pay them enough for the job they do. So somebody is actually doing something and making life better. But, of course, no good deed goes unpunished. And true to form, Dennis has found himself in the crosshairs of his homeowners association. And that's what we're talking about today. He's being threatened and being harassed and abused by the bullies in the neighborhood. And Dennis, one of the things that I would like you to do is make sure that the association obeys and follows its own rules, because Lord knows they are very good at forcing people to follow rules. But when it comes to doing it themselves, it becomes a little inconvenient, you see. We just don't, we can't handle that. It is too inconvenient. So we're going to take these shortcuts. Also, I firmly believe, and my regular listeners have heard me say this time and time and time again, do not ever accept a confidentiality settlement, because they're trying to hide something. If everything was up and on the up and up, they wouldn't do that. So call their bluff and say, no way, Jose. They're not going to back away, because they want this to go away. Okay? And the other thing is, if you're going to go through, they don't want more people on the other side of the table while they're chastising you. So they're going to go into executive session and close it up. And I believe, and I don't know the law, I'm not an attorney, and I do not know the law in California, but I firmly believe that since it is your hearing, you should have the right to decide whether or not you want it open or closed. I would make sure that the camera crews are there, whether they're allowed inside or not. They can film the backside of a door.
The radio stations and the TV stations have all written me and said, we want to be in attendance. Please find out if we will be allowed. And in my initial response was, well, this is a public hearing before the Covenants Committee, and you are welcome as a public to bring in the press and to be a witness and to observe and be have the business to be transparent. Well, the board now has decided that they don't want that, so they're going to have a closed executive session.
I've renamed your association, Dennis. I call it the Whispering Pines, because we don't want to be too obvious in what we do here. So, again, at the Whispering Pines, you know, take your buddies in with you. You should be allowed to have, you should have people with you. You should take people in with you. And I know that the members, the military from Beale Air Force Base, have said that they would be there, right?
They have indicated to me they would want to be here. They're talking to their wing commander to get authorization to do so.
Okay. Now, you not only build furniture and donate furniture, but when our own government decided to close down the commissaries for whatever was going on, and I can't explain the government to you or anybody else, but the military didn't have food.
That's right. When Congress could not get together on the budget in 2013, all federal facilities were basically closed, including the commissary. And a commissary on a military installation is a place where men and women go grocery shopping. So one of my neighbors and myself, we heard about this, and we thought it was pretty bad, so I'm a volunteer at the Nevada County Food Bank, so I called out to the director and I explained the situation. And she said, Dennis, you come out here, we can give you as much food as you want. So my neighbor and I went out, and they, the food bank, gave us 2 26-foot-long trucks and filled them from front to back all the way to the top, and we drove these two trucks 25 miles out to Beale Air Force Base, where we were met by 400 families. And in 2.5 hours, all of the trucks, both of the trucks, were completely empty. I went back to the food bank and thanked them and told them how appreciative the people were. And the director said to me, by the way, the director lives here at Lake of the Pines. The director said to me, what are we doing out there for Thanksgiving? And I said, I have not any plans as of yet. And she said, we want to donate 300 turkeys along with stuffings and potatoes and everything else. I agreed to drive them out. So I and another neighbor drove trucks out to Beale for Thanksgiving, and all of the first sergeants unloaded the trucks, and they anonymously distributed the food to the needy men and women at Beale.
So you're making a difference. You're one of the few people in the world who's found a need. You're filling it. You're coordinating. You're feeding those that our government seems to be incapable of doing. You're giving them furniture. And you're being accused of conducting noxious activities on your property that your neighbors don't seem to think is very obnoxious.
That's right. My neighbors are all very supportive. I have donated furniture to young couples who have just moved into our house. I gave it as a gift. I've gone up the street and I have worked and painted tree decks for a disabled man who couldn't even lift a paintbrush, and I certainly did not charge him a dime. There is an organization here called Women of Worth. Women of Worth is an organization that takes care of battered women, sexually abused, and women who are trafficking, and they give them support. I have built all kinds of furniture and refurbished furniture and donated to them. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to reach out and be a giver. One of the other things, just so your listening audience can know a little bit about Margie and I, we're high school sweethearts, and we've been married for 52 years. Margie and I, we travel around the world with volunteer eye surgeons who restore eyesight to the blind in poor countries. We've been to the Philippines, to Romania, to Russia, to Mexico. We do this at our own expense. We've put 7 kids through college in Romania who were dirt poor, had no money, but were brilliant kids who had a dream to go to college. We put 7 of them through college. All of them have graduated. Some now are married. They're all professionals. We are givers. And when Lake of the Pines comes down like this and says, we're closing down your wood shop because you have a business, I cannot accept this, because I know in my heart it's a hobby and I love what I do for others.
One of the things that the attorney, you forwarded the email that you got from the attorney notifying you that the hearing had been changed from the Covenants Committee, which is where it should have been, and that was supposed to have happened today, tomorrow?
It was today at 8 p.m. this evening.
Okay, so it's not going to take place today. And it's been changed and it's gone, and she says in here that it's been done for, and I've marked up all of this stuff, printed it and marked it up. It's being done for your convenience, of course. Is this for your convenience, Dennis?
Not to my knowledge, because I don't know how it can be to my convenience if I don't even have an opportunity to have an opening statement and present my witnesses.
It says, to accommodate you, the board of directors will hear the matter in closed executive session. That's not accommodating you. That's not what you want.
No.
Have you responded to this email?
I have responded to the attorney only once, because I just don't trust where it's going. The attorney also put a little notation in her letter last night that she is concerned about my conversations with the news media. And she says that some of the statements I am making to the news media are not accurate and truthful, which is not correct at all. So I have written back to her last night, and I pointed out, for instance, she said that the association has never said that I could not paint or sand or chop wood in my property. Well, I quoted her the last paragraph in the general manager's letter of July 11th. So I really don't quite understand what she is doing. I'm sure she's earning her money. I used to be a police officer, so I've worked with attorneys for a long, long time. I was a cop for 8 years. And it's just amazing to see this kind of a response when I was hoping simply to go before a committee of my peers. The Covenants Committee supposedly is made up of regular residents who would hear, then go into deliberation and come out with an opinion. Then if I was not satisfied with that opinion, I could appeal to the board. But for some odd reason, the administration now has eliminated the Covenants appeal process, and they're going into closed session.
I think they're taking away a right that you have. And they're taking away an appellate thing, because if the Covenants Committee goes against you and you choose to appeal their decision, you can go to the board. But if you don't go that step, you have no appeals process. There's nothing left. Who do you go to? You go to court. I would highly recommend that you get an attorney and have an attorney do this. Also, I'd be careful what you say to the association attorney, because remember the old saying, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So any information you give her is going to be used against you. The other thing, too, that you want to be careful of is quite often, and I think this is so terribly, terribly wrong, but associations will hire an attorney, and the attorney will advise them and tell them what to do and how to proceed and all of that. And the association will say, well, we can't afford that. That's too expensive. And they're told, don't worry about it, because we'll get the money from the homeowner. So her fees, advising the board and writing all these letters, are quite likely, and I'm not saying this has happened, but quite likely will be assessed to you. So the more you write to her, the more you engage her, the higher her fees are going to be. So you need to find an attorney to represent you and make sure that any information you give her is not going to be used against you.
I agree.
These are some of the games that they play, Dennis.
So what do you think we can do as far as the general public? What can we do to support me and my endeavors here?
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get this out there, because the more people who are outraged, the more people who know about it, the better. I wholeheartedly agree with Justice Louis Brandeis, who said that sunlight is the best disinfectant. Only cockroaches operate in under cover of darkness. So anytime you want to turn the lights out and do all of this stuff behind closed doors, you know there's funny business going on. If things are on the up and up, if everything is totally kosher, you should be able to do it under public scrutiny. If you can't operate under public scrutiny, there's a problem.
I agree.
There's a huge problem if you are not willing to do it in public. And that's what kind of bothered me about this. There were several things that bothered me about this attorney's email to you, the letter, the notice to you. For one thing, it says, in order to accommodate you, the board will hear the matter in closed executive session. You don't want that. That's, again, you know, they're doing it behind closed doors, and that's not right. The other thing is this fining. Nothing drives me crazier than board members, managers, neighbors, whoever you want to call them, whatever you want to call them, have the ability, the statutory ability to fine you and take away your property.
without so much as having an independent hearing. If you had done something wrong, if there was something really egregious where you had harmed someone, you know, make sure that there are different ideas. It's not the person who's being harmed that's going to be able to come back and retaliate. It's not somebody who is liked better. You know, the whole system in HOAs is so fundamentally wrong, in my opinion. So wrong. And if you've got a garage and you want to be in there doing whatever you want to do in there, Dennis, I think you damn well ought to be able to do that. In the email, she has cited all of these sections. I do not have a copy of your covenant, so I don't know what they say. But quite often what I found is, even though they'll throw out all these citations, it's CCNR's Article 8, Sections 1, 2, 6A, 6B, 617B, and all of these numbers, when you go and read them, they have absolutely zero to do with what they're talking about. So the other thing I tell people, and I cannot tell people this enough, is go to the courthouse and get a copy of the covenants as recorded. Because if it's not recorded, it doesn't count.
Okay.
Because quite often what they'll do is they'll rewrite the covenants. They'll have six different versions in a desk drawer, and they'll pull out whatever version is convenient for them at the time.
Here's another interesting factor I wanted to mention to you. I got an email on August 2nd. And it says, please be advised that this law firm represents Lake of the Pine regarding matters relating to your ability to continue manufacturing and selling furniture out of your home. Please also be advised the hearing previously scheduled for August 5 has been rescheduled until the next regular scheduled board meeting, August 13th. Under a separate cover, I will be sending to you a letter with a comprehensive explanation in the interim. If you have any questions, call me. This was August 2nd. Yesterday, August 4th, she writes and says that this hearing is now going before the board. So 2 days after she, on August 2nd, she said one thing. Now on August 4th, it's suddenly going right to the board.
Keep all of this stuff. You know, hang on to all of this stuff. I mean, I sat down and I printed out this stuff and I read it this morning and I sort of very quickly jotted some gut reactions as I went through it. On page 3, 4 of this letter, I guess it must be page 3. Yes. It says, no equipment or process shall create a noise in excess of 55 decibels as measured at any property line. Noise level measurements made pursuant to this section shall be measured with a sound level meter using the A-weighted scale and the slow response pursuant to manufacturer's instructions. I was looking at dishwashers the other day, and I was looking at the noise level. 55 decibels was not, it was about the average noise level of a dishwasher, Dennis. The lowest that I found, usually they were about 52, 53, but 55, that's not that loud.
I have a neighbor who is a quality control officer for the largest construction company in the United States who is currently building a state prison in Stockton, California. He is very supportive, and he said to me, in my job as a quality control officer, I have highly technical instruments to detect odors, fumes, noise, etc. He told the board in writing, I would be willing to come to his house. He only lives 2 doors away. I would be willing, as a technical expert, to tell you what the findings are from these technical instruments, and, of course, not a word from the board.
I would have him come and do that, get the measurements. I would ask him to come, and whatever you do, whatever noise you make, have him measure them so that you actually have that information?
Yes.
I would not accept. I would absolutely, positively refuse this closed door thing. That smells, and I'm 3,000 miles away. That smells rotten. That yep. smells really, really bad. You know.
Well, the other said that I was emitting fumes and odors, and I said to the general manager, "How did you arrive at this supposition? Because neither you or any member of your staff has ever been in my workshop or has ever been on my property. So how can you conclude that I'm emitting odors and fumes?" He had no answer.
Well, the thing is, you can emit all kinds of odors and fumes in your own house. It's not, it, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
I even asked the reporters when they were in my workshop, I said, "Do you smell any odors or fumes?" And they said, "No." I said, "Well, that's what I've been accused of doing."
Again, you've walked into people's homes and they use all of these candles and the scented stuff. And, you know, I find that stuff really obnoxious, but it's their home. If they want to live in a fog of that stuff, that's perfectly okay. It's inside. It's not outside. It's none of my business. I don't care what they do. If, you know, if they come and spray it in my house, then, yeah, I might have a complaint. But they're not. You're not doing that. You have a right to paint stuff in your house. By the way, I asked Dennis to send me pictures of his furniture. It is absolutely gorgeous. And you will get to see some of them on my website. I will post some of those and make sure that they're there so that you can see what he's doing. And tell me, I dare anybody to tell me that they wouldn't be thrilled to have a piece of that furniture. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Some of these pieces of furniture I have seen in stores anywhere from $1,200 to $4,000. And if ever I sold a piece of furniture exactly like that, I would sell a piece to a neighbor for $400. I bumped into a pastor the other day who lives around the corner who attends our church. He said to me, "I've been hearing about what's going on for you," and he said, "I'm really sorry." He said, "You know, my wife, I bought a piece of your furniture for my wife as a surprise, and she absolutely loves it." He says, "In fact, my adult kids are fighting over it now as to who's going to get it." He said, "You know, a strange thing," he said, "when I moved in here to Lake of the Pines, nobody greeted us. And 3 days after we were here, I got a letter from the ECC telling me that my weeds were too high." He said, "We were offended."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that just does not surprise me at all. You know, whatever happened to neighbors and community and working together and making life better for people? What happened to that notion?
Well, that's kind of the way that we feel. Margie and I both are volunteering at the food bank every Monday. You know, it's just we're givers, we're not takers, and I don't understand why this organization here, this administration, is not so pro-military, since the base is only about 20, 25 miles away. You would think that this it would be an unbelievable place to back our military personnel. And since I'm donating, not selling my furniture to them, it would be a gift.
You'd absolutely think that, but I don't know. I think that HOAs sort of destroy community. They destroy what was quintessentially Americana. And
you know, the other thing I was going to mention to you is when we sat down with the general manager, I said to the general manager, I said, "You know, I was a real estate agent in California for 20 years, and I sold in Santa Barbara and Solvang and all the beautiful communities, including up here." And I said, "Isn't it an existing rule that only real estate signs in Lake of the Pines have to be brown, no other color?" And he said, "That's correct." So I said, "Well, that means also that you cannot place a brochure box on those signs. Is that right?" And he said, "That's right. That's right." Well, the following day, I knew that that was not correct, and I drove around our community, and I took 12 photographs of signs that were not brown, that were red and white and all different colors, brochures hanging from them. And I sent it to him. And I said, you know, to enforce the rules equally and fair, here are 12 violations of the real estate sign ordinance. And he wrote back, we take things in priority.
You know what? If you're a real estate agent and you have a sign, you want to be distinguished from the other realtors. They can't tell you to have brown real estate signs. Come on. How ridiculous is that?
That's what they have in the rules.
I know, Dennis. They put some of the most idiotic things in the rules, and then they get really offended when people point out that, you know, the emperor has no clothes on. He's stark raving mad and naked, and they get offended and they get defensive, and they just dig themselves in deeper and deeper. There's something else that caught my eye. I'm sorry, go on.
I know when the news media, including the television stations and the newspaper reporters, went to the general manager and asked for statements, all of them came back and told me that he refused to give a comment, which I do not understand.
Oh, I do, because there's nothing to say. I mean, what can he say? We're being a bunch of jerks? I mean, you know.
He's going to say his position, you know, that Mr. Coker is conducting a business and his furniture is unsightly. Well, if you had a chance to take a look at some of the live broadcasts, what I did on Fox News and what I did on Channel 13 Sacramento News, they showed my photograph. The actual reporter was in my shop when they were filming, and they actually produced it on television.
Yeah.
And if anybody looked at that and said, I mean, my shop is immaculate, and if they say this was a mess or this was odors or fumes or unsightly furniture, I mean, nothing farther from the truth.
But it doesn't matter if it was a mess. It doesn't matter if it was a mess. They have no right to come into your garage and tell you what to put in it and how to organize it. They don't have that right, Dennis.
Can you imagine if somebody came to you and said, you can't paint or hammer or saw in your home? Most Americans would say, this is my home. I can do what I want in the home. And for them to come out and create these things, like you're emitting odors and fumes, but never been in my shop, never been on my property. So they're drumming up excuses in order to get what they're ultimately trying to do to close my shop. I don't know if I told you this, but I received an email from a neighbor who says, I live at Lake of the Pines, and I own a 10,000-square-foot warehouse in Auburn, California. Dennis can come and move his shop into my warehouse, and he can work there for free. I had another lady who wrote and said, my husband was a veteran and he was a woodworker and he passed away. She said, I have a barn filled with hardwood that I want to donate to you. I mean, amazing support from people know that what I'm doing is for the betterment of others.
People are so livid about what's going on, what's happening to you. People have had it. They're fed up with associations. They're fed up with the stupidity. They're fed up with the pettiness. I told you at the top of this show that I had a lot of people send me articles and send me information asking to have you on the show because they want to hear from you. They think what's happening is really bad. My problem was trying to get a hold of you. Otherwise, you would have been on a couple of weeks ago. But that, you know, but people want to hear. They're outraged all across the country, Dennis.
So how can we get the voices of America to get a hold of the newspaper reporters who are going to cover this story locally and to the general manager and to the board of directors? How do we do this?
Forward the articles, forward this show. This will be on my website that people can go anytime they want and they don't have to be there from 2 to 3 on Saturday. They can download this show anytime after it's broadcast and they can listen to it. They can listen to it on my website because this hour has been your hour.
this hour you have had the opportunity to explain things from your point of view. So send the show, because you will be sending Dennis's words, his story, in his words.
Do you have the address and the phone number and so forth of the Lake of the Pines and the general manager?
I do have that. I'm going to put that in my promo, but I want you to give it to us if you have it handy right now, Dennis.
I do. The general manager's name is Mr. Fred Turner, and his direct phone number is 530-268-1141. He has a fax. His fax number is 530-268-8014. He also has an email address of G like in George, M like in manager, at LOP like in Paul, .org. And I have his address, but I think because of the hearing is next week, that if anybody writes to him, the letter may not even get there in time. But his address is Lake of the Pines, 11665, the word Lakeshore, one word, Lakeshore North, in Auburn, California, 95602. And the Grass Valley Union newspaper in Grass Valley, California, and the Auburn Journal in Auburn, California, two towns 10 miles on either side of where we live, are covering this very completely. I would love to have your listeners contact these reporters, let them know that they're incensed at what they hear, that this is not right. And I think that's the only way that we're going to be getting justice and freedom of speech.
I think what you need to do is have an attorney write to the association or to the association attorney demanding that the hearing be conducted in open session. But have an attorney do that. Okay? Have an attorney do that. Don't do it in, have the attorneys talk to each other, because if you were a cop, I'm sure you gave everybody their Miranda rights. You know, don't say anything, because anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So just keep that in mind and let the attorneys deal with it. But you do need an attorney. You do need to be open. Here's something else that caught my eye in this 4-5-page email that you got from the association attorney. It says, the association's policies and procedures on page 29 define noxious activities as follows in relevant part. And she goes on to read that. And she says, in support of the Pines CCNRs, Article 8, Section 7, prohibition of noxious activities, and without limiting Article 8, the following rules have been adopted. And this is a rule, and I'm kind of curious as to when it was adopted and whether it was adopted in open or closed session. But the rule is as follows. No member shall conduct any activity within the Lake of the Pines that is an unreasonable annoyance or nuisance to any Lake of the Pines member or employee. And it goes on to say, and so, you know, what are they going to do, write rules and then hold you in contempt of them retroactively? You're supposed to have a crystal ball. Oh, I know that the Lake of Pines Board is going to come up with a new rule and I just cannot violate it, right?
That's correct.
These people don't, anyway. Please understand that the association's board members, owners, and residents consider this a very serious matter. I bet the residents consider it a serious matter. They're tired of it. They don't want to be in the news all the time. The association looks forward to your immediate compliance. Please feel free to contact me if you have any questions regarding this matter. My fees are $450 an hour. Thank you very much. Have a very nice day.
You know, one of the things that in their complaint, it said that I had a garage sale and that I had furniture out on the driveway with signs up that said for sale. And my response to them was, there is nothing in the rules that says I cannot have a garage sale, nor does it tell me how many I can have in a year, in a month, in a week, nor does it say what I can and cannot sell at my garage sale. So if I put out a couple items of furniture along with many other items for a garage sale, that is legitimate. And they said, well, at one time you put out a Visa MasterCard sign. And I said, where does it say in the rules what defines the currency that I can only accept? Can I only accept cash or checks? It doesn't say anything. So I said, if you want to refine the rules for a garage sale, then you need to create a new rule. But the existing rules does not prohibit me from having a garage sale and placing some of my furniture else for sale.
I know, Dennis. They're really ridiculous. And I'm not talking about them in particular, but associations in general, because we keep hearing about these things over and over and over again. And they just, it's this control mentality. They just have to control every aspect of your life.
I would never again live in a gated community. Never. I'm 72 years old and I'm healthy and strong and, I volunteer over at the VA clinic here in Auburn and I see all these men, these veterans coming in there, men and women who are much younger than I am in much poorer shape. And I thank God every day that I have, where I live because it's a beautiful place. I love living here at Lake of the Pines. I have for 14 years. But the harassment, the control, the discrimination, because they send a member of the administration to my house every day to see if I'm doing something wrong. But they don't do that to the other residents here at Lake of the Pines.
Wait a minute. So they send someone over to your house every day?
Every day. They pull up out front, and they sit out there to see if I'm building any furniture. Building, sanding, sawing, painting. If they do, they told me they're going to find me. So every single day, they send somebody to my house to see if I'm doing something in my garage. And if that isn't discrimination and harassment, I don't know what is.
It actually is. It absolutely is harassment and discrimination. That is really awful.
Yeah, these are the things that I'm trying to find a happy medium. You know, I even said to them, you know, there must be a way we can find a happy medium here. I said, you know, this is a hobby. It's not a business. I am not going to work in my shop with the garage door closed. I will work between Monday and Friday between 9 and 5, which is in the rules that says I can. And I will have a garage sale whenever I want for one particular day. And I will sell whatever I want. So I'm willing to abide by some reasonableness here, but I want the harassment and the discrimination.
Have you got any more interviews lined up?
No.
Okay. Because that's something that you need to point out, that they're coming there on a daily basis. And
did you see that the attorney wrote to the Grass Valley Union? She responded and she said, I represent the Grass, the Lake of the Pines, and I'm their attorney, and we don't discriminate against anybody. So she jumped on that right away, made it a point that said, Dennis says we're discriminating, but we don't discriminate anyone, especially our veterans.
Okay. That's, good luck, Dennis. And thank you for what you're doing, because my husband was in the military many, many years ago, and I don't think I've ever run into anyone quite like you.
Well, I'm flattered by what you say. I appreciate it. But I just want you to know that Margie and I are givers. We are not takers, and that we are so grateful for what we've been given, but we work hard together. And we donate together. And we're going to plan to continue it. If they close my shop then I'm going to have to come up with an alternative. Either I'm going to accept this man's offer and move my things to the warehouse 6 to 7 miles away. But like Margie says, why should you have to do that? Why should you not be able to work in your own garage, in your own hobby, benefiting others? And so I have some decisions to make. I'm hoping that the board is going to come down and come to some reasonable, common sense, discretionary procedure here that we'll be able to live together and all of this foolishness will stop.
Build a community, right?
That's right.
Dennis, thank you so very much for joining us.
I really appreciate all the help and the time that you spent with me.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.